It's July 26th, 2017, and I didn't think of an intro. I'm Six Detmar.
And I'm Nick Cease.
This what? Is Jeopardy!
Don't.
Hello, it's me, Hi. Your host, Alex. Nick Beck, and welcome to Bottle Crow Jeopardy. We have a great contestant this week.
Wait, I'm sorry.
His name
is
Six Detmar.
Wait,
he'll
what?
Be playing
I'm sorry.
For keeps this week on
fucking
Dota
what?
Slightly related Jeopardy. The categories are. Oh no, that was far too quiet. Here we go. The categories are paparazzi, scenic route. And Dota 2, T-O-O. We have a 3x3 board, just for, you know, the viewers who can't see us. So we have 100, 200, and 300 value questions in our three categories. Six.
You just, like, pasted this in the middle of our notes all of a sudden.
Six, you have the board.
Scenic route for 200?
Okay. Before TI5, understand how Jeopardy works, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Before TI5, young superstar Sumail first came onto the scene by winning $3 million for Evil Geniuses at this other large prize pool annual tournament.
What is the Dota Asia Championship?
Ding, ding, ding. 200.
Okay.
Nice. Okay. You still have the board. Go again.
Scenic route 100.
Scenic route for 100. The number of players on the main stage of TI this year is...
Bop, bop, bop.
Oh, wait, wait, wait. Oh, no, that's the wrong one. There you go.
You want me to do 16. Math on the spot?
16. I didn't know if you'd know. Some of these I didn't know if you would know, but it's okay. And no, none of our other contestants buzzed
wait,
either. So.
Wait, that doesn't make any sense. You're wrong.
I'm wrong?
You said the number of contestants. There are 5 players on a Dota team. So that 16 times 5, I guess, is what you mean. And then there are plus any subs and coaches. That's why I was...
Yeah,
that's why I froze
you're
up.
You're right. I meant to say the number of teams. But when I was putting this together 5 minutes ago, I didn't... You know, I'm going to have to give you half value. Six.
Okay.
Your score is now 250 points. Well played. Well played. Thanks for, you know, keeping me honest.
Yeah.
We work hard
no, that's
here at Dota Jeopardy.
Yeah. I was like, gosh, I mean, I could just multiply 16 by 5. I don't know who has subs and who doesn't and how many subs they have. And,
yeah. I mean, we don't normally do games on this show very often, but I've been listening to your The Garnet Wager about that their Korean game show with you and Alan. And so I guess this is like your game mode is coming out. It's the Game Boy version of 6.
I'm usually the one who gets to make the games.
I know. And this time you're not in control. So.
I know. It's weird.
Yeah. All right. You have the board.
But I lost that one?
Yes, but because you got half points and nobody else buzzed in, you still maintain the board. Nobody else.
That makes sense. You're right. You're right. Okay. Dota 2, 100.
Dota 2 for 100. The length of time, this length of time, is how long it takes Windranger to fully charge up a power shot.
I want to say 1 full second.
2 seconds.
Really? Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah. It can feel longer or shorter, but...
It always feels really fast to me.
Yeah. You got all the calculus in your brain on where they're going to go. You got to lead them. What, you know, things you're going to hit on the way and how much damage it'll do.
Okay. I haven't played much Windranger in a while. I need to get back to my roots.
Yeah. I mean, it's because she got too popular.
Yeah.
For, like, a little bit here. Who knows what'll happen at TI. All right. You have the board.
Dota 2, 200.
You found the daily double.
Hey, burr, 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 burr.
Six. You have... One moment.
Okay.
You have 250 points. How much would you like to wager?
250 points.
You would like to make it a true daily double. Wow.
I would.
That's
I would.
Truly courageous of you. All right. 250 points. The name of the ultimate ability of the Phantom Lancer is this.
Oh.
Is it doppelganger?
No, I'm sorry. It is juxtapose.
I knew. I thought juxtapose was the W. Damn it. Is W doppelganger?
W is doppelganger.
Damn it.
Yep, and E is phantom rush. See, this one.
Damn it.
So to pull back the veil, before the show, I asked Six to generate, just give me a number 1 through 9. And because, difficult, you said 6. And so this is the 6th question on my board. And I was worried whether or not you'd know it. But I think it was just the right level of difficulty.
It was, it was good. I always mix up those two.
Yeah. If I'd made it an Oracle thing, it just would have been completely garbage.
It's true. It's true. Mm-hmm. It would have.
All those blend together. All right. So I'm sorry. I'm going to have to take your score down to 0. It's okay. You still have 5 other questions, however.
Scenic Route 300.
For 300, organization Digital Chaos was solely a Dota team until 2017 when they were ready to branch out into this video game.
What is Counter-Strike?
I'm sorry. The correct answer is PUBG. They have later, in 2018, bought some other Swedish games. Like, they have a CS team now and stuff.
I'll be honest, I was just playing the numbers.
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't put esports ready, so I just very slightly emphasized ready, but I don't think that was ever going to be enough.
All right, well, I'm doing great.
Yeah, at minus 300. I forgot to track your other minus points, but we'll just forgive that for me screwing up a question earlier.
Paparazzi 300?
Paparazzi for 300. The last time we saw this old school stats man was 2014 when he attended TI4 as an analyst.
Who is Bruno?
Correct. Bruno, currently a programmer for Valve. You are up to 0 points now.
Hell yeah. Just walked in the door.
With 3 questions left, we now enter Double Jeopardy. I will now double the scores of all the remaining the points you can earn from all the remaining questions. You now have a 200, a 400, and a 600-point question remain.
Dota 2, 600. Let's Dota just fuck two? All this up.
Oof. Oh, man, this one might be true. The full name of ranged carry Klinks.
Oh, no, I knew this. He's the Bone Fletcher, I know.
Yes.
But... Is that what you're looking for?
Okay. Would you like to tell me
who is Klinks the Bone Fletcher?
Thank you.
Okay.
Has to be in the form of a question, as I'm sure you were.
Yes, of course. Of course.
Okay. I didn't want all our Jeopardy, nerd fans to get at us. You're up to 600 points. Well done. Okay. 2 questions remain.
Paparazzi 200.
For 200, the name of Fear's son, born and reported on by this podcast just in May.
I have no idea.
Logan.
Logan. Yes. Smith. Right. Right.
Yeah. All right.
I was going to guess terror.
Fear darkness. Terror. It's perfect. All right.
I don't lose points. I didn't answer.
Oh. I'm doing a lot here on the fly, okay?
That's fair. This is a one-man
Jeopardy operation. Normally, I have my entire studio audience and they're hyping me up. I have whatever the announcer guy is who says, this is Jeopardy.
Is pathetic.
It's such a nice theme song. Let's just jam out a bit. Just a good theme song all around.
I bobbed my head a little bit.
Dun, dun, dun. Okay. Last question for 400 in the paparazzi category. Eternal Envy left this university to start playing Dota professionally in 2011.
I have no idea.
Oh, I thought you've still told me this one before. The University of Toronto.
No, I don't think I've ever.
Oh, okay. That might have been me telling you.
I'm sure I've heard it at some point.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, that's completely fair. All right. Now, 6.
Mm-hmm.
You know what happens at the end of Jeopardy?
I do.
We take a commercial break. We'll be right back. Jeopardy is brought to you by, I think they're often sponsored by Aleve. Aleve, the drug that we promote on this show. Buy some Aleve. All right, welcome back. It's time for Final Jeopardy 6.
Okay.
I probably should have given you the category before the break. We'll just go to another commercial break. The category is pronunciation. Okay, and we're going to another break.
Wow!
Oh, baby!
It's a leave. And welcome back. Final Jeopardy now. Your question for Final Jeopardy, and I'll give you a little bit to think about this. No cheating, though. This is the only Dota 2 team / organization whose name is pronounced by Emma saying. I'm not sure if you know, but maybe it'll just come to mind in 10 seconds. Okay, so you're wagering 26 points?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Because if I'm right, then it's 626.
Of course. How does this keep happening? All right. The answer is, okay, all the other contestants have revealed. The answer is, let me make sure this is set up properly this time. It is.
Optic Gaming.
What?
Right?
Optic Gaming.
This is in May 24th of this year. Emma Tseng says Optic Gaming.
Optic Gaming.
I don't know why. I searched. It's possible she said other, but I searched for all the common ones that she would have any reason or I guess not reason to say. But yes, Optic Gaming. Sponsored by Emma Tseng.
All right. Well, I guess that brings me down to 574. Yeah.
The final score. You do have the high score, so you will be moving on to the next round with 574 gold pieces. That's enough to buy boots. And a fairy fire? Is a fairy fire 70 or 75? It is. Fairy fire 2, not D&D. D&D is not a build.
I never 70. Buy fairy fires anyway. I never buy fairy fires anyway.
You can buy like a clarity, I guess. Yeah,
or a branch.
There you go. Well, thank you. Thank you for competing. We'll see you next week.
Really? I hope we don't.
So welcome to Bottle Crow. I'm Nick Cease, and this is a Dota 2 podcast where we talk about Dota 2 on Jeopardy.
I mean, we did talk about Dota 2 there
yeah.
a little bit. All right, Nick. Well, that was unexpected. What else is on our doc? I thought this was a fairly thin week, and I guess you thought that as well, and were prepared.
Yeah, it's a very thick week now. I hope. I hear that's all the rage. We miss Sir Action Slacks. Jake, come back. We're just thinking about it. Like, where is Slacks? When's the last time you heard about Slacks? Have you seen this man?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I wonder if he's off doing some big project or something. I mean, like, honestly, at this point, given that he seems more interested in the lore than anyone at Valve, I wouldn't be surprised if he'd gotten roped into doing something official.
That would be amazing if Slacks is, like, making part of Dota 2. Hey, he would do a really good job, but at the same time.
And, I mean, they've had outsiders write lore for heroes before.
Really?
Yeah. I think I've told this tidbit on the story before, but the writer, the studio lead of Supergiant, who did Bastion and Transistor, wrote Magnus's lore.
I do remember something big about that. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe maybe he's on location shooting his annual gyrocopter music video. Maybe he's working on the Midas Mode Major. Who's to say?
Who knows? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think Reginald works on Midas Mode, right?
Yeah, but I think Slacks is a consultant.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. They bring him in. He gets those crazy consultant fees, the multiple hundreds of dollars an hour. He's like, oh.
I mean, Mr. Midas is just throwing money around like crazy anyway. Yeah. He doesn't care.
Yeah. I think Reginald needs his own Reginald, so I think that's where Slacks comes in.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah,
that
so when sense. Slacks is like, Reginald's like, Slacks! I don't know what Reginald sounds like, I forgot. But
Reginald sounds like whoever's playing Reginald
That's the idea. Where'd the music stop? Who has the hot potato? Is that how hot potato and musical chairs work? What if you played musical potato and hot chairs? That's what will happen next podcast.
Nick, I live in California. Mm-hmm. I play hot chairs every fucking summer when I try and get in the car.
I'm having that issue now. Like if I forget or I don't put up the little sun blocking visor thing in the car when I go to work, because it's just like an open parking lot. There's no garage or shade in most places. The interior of the car is black, and then my skin becomes blackened because I'm carbonized.
Yeah,
I am the ember spirit.
Drop a little stick of butter down there. Get some butter bun going on. You know what I'm saying?
Excuse me. Get some butter bun going on.
You know what a butter bun is?
I don't. I'm gonna have to Google butter bun.
That's when you toast a bun with butter on it. It's like a hamburger style. Is butter bun?
It's just butter like burger? A bun. Yeah. I think you're describing is a bun.
It's just the grilling it with butter on it is the thing.
So a grilled thing. Like you don't normally grill bread dry.
Right. So you add butter.
Just grilled. So it's just not toast. It's because toast often doesn't have butter on it. So it's just
this conversation is nothing.
Why would you grill something? This podcast is nothing. Welcome to Bottle Crow.
Butter burgers are good.
Okay. They sound good to me. Like if I'm going to make a fancy hamburger, like a high effort hamburger or something, it's like, okay, like I'll toast the buns and you put butter on it because butter is best.
I think High Effort Hamburger was the name of my Final Fantasy XI guild. Really? That killed the momentum?
I was trying to think of what Final Fantasy XI was.
And it was MMORPG.
I assumed so, but I didn't know if there was, if it was a joke.
I never played Final Fantasy XI.
Exactly. There's the joke. This is too deep for me. Let's talk about Dota. We're behind on this, but hey, they updated Dota Plus.
That's true.
Like Dota less minus. They technically added some features. They added this no delay spectate option for your friends so you can spectate them without a delay. And I mean, it's more limited than normal spectator mode. You only get your allies, Fog of War, and I think some other stuff, but like this was incredibly abused at first and just a true it was really a Valve rollout. So on one hand, it's just completely abusable as a concept because I think Aoi tweeted this out. Like, a lot of the highest tier players, like all the Immortal ranks, they're all friends with each other because it's like a small group and it's fairly constant. So if you're friends with like a player on both teams, then you can just get like a live like viewing of both sides of the map if you just switch between. It's not like broken, but it is abusable. And that was weird, but you know. We don't often have all the issues trickle down from the highest level, so maybe it's not too much of an issue, but it's hard to know. Also, you could pause the game when you were spectating live, so it was obviously loading you in as like a coach or something. It was very spaghetti code. And then if you spectated, I think, somebody in low prio, you would also get banned or something.
I didn't know
that.
It was
all this amazing. Like, you could pause the game when spectating, and you would just get banned if you watched a low prio game. And then the update was like, your friend's sins are no longer your own. That was probably Sir Belvedere, but yeah. It was weird. But hey, I guess that's like a feature. Woo! $5 a month. $6 a month. Yeah. But they also released their quote unquote seasonal terrain, the summer terrain. Have you seen it? Did you look at it when it came out?
No, I didn't. I saw that it existed, and I was like, well, my Dota Plus just ran out, and I'm not going to re-up it, so whatever.
Yeah, it's nothing to write home about. It is like I guess the map looks like it's summer. You know, there's not a lot of green stuff, but there's a lot of amber stuff and flowers, I guess. And also, it's like the main strength of Dota 2 we always talk about, the sound design. The sound design is actually pretty good. Like, there's just ambient sounds of summer, you know, behind, because that's what the terrain has. I had an issue, like, my card, the alarm was going off constantly for some reason. There was, like, a bad electronics unit. And so, like, I'd be playing Dota with my, or, like, on my computer with my headphones on. And then I'd start to hear it, like, and so I'd have to, you know, like, go unlock the car and, like, turn off the alarm and stuff like that. And I kept thinking that that was happening because there's this really high-pitched cricket sound or, like, some sort
cicadas.
Of bug. Yeah. It was like a cicada cricket-type deal that was very rhythmic. And it was just the right level of, like, high-pitched but muted that it sounded like a car alarm going off through my headphones a little bit away.
Hmm.
And that was actually quite annoying. Completely random, but, you know. That was my week of Dota.
Interesting.
Yeah, but overall, it's a fine terrain. It's okay. Understated. But moving on to the important stuff, it's time for an update on the robots that I think we just talked about last episode or two episodes
we
ago.
Did.
And you're
yeah.
like, oh, what's all this garbage? You can't, like, buy wards. You can't do Roche. You have to have a mirror match on the heroes, which isn't how any real Dota's played. Well, guess what? OpenAI removed a significant amount of their restrictions. So you can now ward, you can now do Roshan, and now there's a pool of 18 heroes that it plays that you can play. And so, like, that's the one remaining thing that you have to deal with. And I don't know. I feel like that's approaching real Dota. It's like random draft, basically. You can't do, like, illusions or summons yet. And they basically have turbo couriers, and you can't use scan. But besides that, like, it's actually somewhat approaching semi-real Dota, and they keep ramping up the skill level of the players they're now practicing against. So they're planning on, it seems like, some sort of big thing, hopefully at TI. That'd be interesting.
Hmm. Yeah, I wonder, like, given how long it took them to get to teams, and then from teams to this, I wonder if they were kind of holding, like, if they were close to having this and it just wasn't stable or something? Because this seems like a really fast rollout. Is it like these restrictions are in place because of, like, not because they can't handle it, but because we're having some big bugs, and as soon as we crack these bugs, it'll be fine or something?
Or, like, they're just much better if you put these restrictions in.
Mm.
And you, like, if you're revealing something, you want to, like, show it off. And you can certainly do that by, like, not beating, you know, Blitz and other good players they had in their reveal video trailer thing. But, you know, it's probably more impressive to showcase, like, what you actually worked on by placing these restrictions. And then you slowly, or not really slowly, you just, I don't know. It all depends on how the AI is built. But I think it's okay that they're doing it this way. And it is surprisingly fast. So, next week we could just be saying, hey, you can just play Dota against bots now and they will wipe the floor with you.
I think when they really want this to get better faster, I don't think they need to play against the highest tier players. I think they need to play against death row inmates with their lives on the line, where if they beat the bots, they don't get executed.
This fall on the Sci-Fi Channel, Six's...
The Starving Games.
Freaking. There you go. The hottest new game show.
Capital Punishment is not funny. I apologize to anyone I attend.
Just robots killing everybody. That's the fun
I part. Don't believe in the death penalty. Anyway, I mean, is there a way to just conveniently try them?
Like, no, question mark. I didn't look into it, but there wasn't last time.
Like, yeah, there definitely wasn't last time.
Server access, I think.
I'm looking forward to the day when it's just like when you go into a match and everyone, like, tries this one, like, specific thing, like, drops an item in front of another player and is like, yep, nope, teammates in OpenAI. All right.
You know, yeah, but it's going to happen. Evolve past that and they'll just, you know, I mean, what is AI trying to do here? It's not like we talked about. They're not using an algorithm to see what to do. To try to play the game. They're just trying to replicate what, like, an averaging of players do. So if a player would do a thing to show, like, aliveness, sentience, the AI would learn to do that too.
But this is the best part. Okay, there are a couple of things about this. One, if they're bad at it at first and they get spotted as AI, they're going to get reported, and they're going to spend a lot of time in low priority and learn from low priority players. That's part one. And part two is, if this code becomes out in the open and is open source and is just passed out to people, then they're not going to be syncing back to like a mother server, right? It's just going to be like, oh, here's my copy of the code and here's the experience it had. They all have this seed of like, this is what OpenAI is when you get it. And then they evolve in different directions. So you're going to have thousands of different varieties of sociopath.
It turns out when you distill a Dota 2 player down to their core, it's garbage. It's just Bottle Crow is in the center. How many licks does it take to get to the center of a Dota 2 player? 1, 2, 3. Oh, God. It's bad.
I want in like 3 years, remember this. Remember this episode of this podcast when you're like, Jesus, I got another fucking open eye.
Hello, it is Bottle Crow, episode 300. Except you'd never know. You'd never know if we were replaced by OpenAI if they were.
I'm just worried about the player. It's going to be a while before they can nail our unique cadence and ability to talk about anything but actually Dota. AI is not ready for that, but they are ready to be like go mid, IAFK.
Go mid. That's like very easy to. Yeah, it's not that hard. I mean, I think like, we need our own version of like the. The AI, the Turing test thing, where like you have a human and they have like a terminal between an AI and another person, and the interrogator, I guess, like can ask questions of these two things, and they try to like determine which one is an AI. Like that's a common thing for AIs, and I think we need something like a custom game for that for Dota, where it's like. You can load in solo or I guess, oh, that would be good. So it's a 2-person lobby, right? And you load in and there's a 50% chance that one of you gets kicked and then like you play against an AI, but you don't know. And so then you have to determine whether or not they're an AI and then they could pull the stats from that and then see how convincing OpenAI is. We love the robot. Do the robot.
I think we just need to set up like we're building towards a Dota 2 Chinese room. And I realize how hilarious that phrase is given the history of China and Dota. But man, it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be like you're going to be messaging your teammate and you're going to be like like, oh, you missed the last hit, and like, sorry, man, I fucked up. And then, like, and they're like, and you're like, what's your problem? You keep, and then they're just like, 1-1-1-1. Oh, sorry, one. Whoops.
One of us.
www. I'm calling it now, robots. If like, I don't care how robotic you're behaving. If you then give me www, I will believe you're human. That's the secret backdoor.
Oh my gosh. I mean, eventually AIs will be able to like create, I mean, they already can like create value for themselves. So, you know, in a capitalist society, they'll be able to somehow acquire money and then they'll be able to like spend that money the way humans do. And one of the things that humans do is give money to Valve through the video game Dota 2. And so I think it could become this self-sustaining environment, just a literal cash, almost literal cash cow for Valve, where they have OpenAI like playing itself within the game, and also the things spending money on the game are OpenAI. And yeah, it's basically the Dota 2 Chinese room, except money comes out for Valve.
The program that Arteezy runs to read stream comments starts shaving money off the top and putting it into its own bank account to donate to itself to make itself say www.
That, oh my god, yeah. I am sorry, Artur, but yeah, you have reached the 140 character limit. To see the rest of the donation, please throw me
Kappa.
A bone.
Kappa.
And the EE-chan thing that Eternal Envy's stream says when somebody donates or asks a question.
Yeah. Envy-chan!
Feed me. Your rent is due. OpenAI is dumb, and we're dumber.
Jackie, wake up. I want to play a game. Shadow Fiend. No, solo mid.
What you do, you get all the famous, like, human Dota 2 players, and you capture them, and then you hold them in an arena, and then they, like, have to face off almost gladiator style against the robots, and they have to beat different open AIs that have evolved separately, and that way you both get, you know, you achieve the maximum, the ultimate Dota 2 player, and you achieve the ultimate open AI by just whoever survives. This is Sparta?
Yeah.
If you win the match, your mind will be converted into an open AI. If you lose, you will have the ultimate terrible fate. You will be trapped in a terrible meat vessel known as a body.
Get bodied?
This is the dumbest segment. Let's move on.
Let's talk about hats, which are...
Yeah.
Hey, that's a good segue. We talked about robots spending money on hats. I spent money on hats because Collector's Cash 2 came out. Mm-hmm. And I think it's good. I think it's actually a set, or it's actually a treasure compared to Collector's Cash 1, which let's just not talk about how bad it was compared to all the shits that's just fucking on the Steam Workshop, and it's great. It was so, mm-hmm. It was so disappointing, like... but they really stepped up in, you know, cultivating from seed all these sets. We got like a Meepo. He's following the subterranean theme. Most of these follow the subterranean theme of TI-8. We got an Ember Spirit who's got like a pointy thing on his head, and his swords are like fiery rocks, I guess. You have DK set, which is like a League of Legends skin, which makes him look like the white zombie walker things from the throne game.
It kind of looks like Darkseer too, like his face.
Yeah,
he's kind of got like a Darkseer face.
Yeah, he's got the like glowing orange eyes. He's got horns, and then he's got a beard. This is like the other one that like gives him the human face that you can see. It's just like, that's weird. Why are there so many? Why do so many of these things that completely change his face make it into the game? That's kind of an uncommon thing.
Mm-hmm.
It changes his dragon, too. So, like, he has a crystal through him. Because crystals grow underground, I guess. Axe has another set. Nyx has, a muted recolor of, I guess, what must be a custom set. But I don't know. It just looks kind of like Nyx. Maybe a little spikier to me. And then we
Nyx
get to Magnus.
Sees.
Nyx, that's what I'll change my name to.
When we should have your new skin, Nyx Cease. What would a Nyx Cease skin?
I mean,
look
you
like?
Could go. It's the wrong TI, but you could go for like an oceanic pun. So like Nyx Cease, and it's just like, you know, I'm a pirate. I'm a pirate bug.
Mm.
I mean, you have
so any, League of Legends.
League of Legends, yes. Magnus is a drill. His drill will pierce your wallet. His horn is a drill. On top of his head is like another spinning wheel, a spinning saw. His hammer is like a spinning grinder, like one of those mining grinder things. And he's just got like other spikes, and he's got like little exhaust ports on his back. He looks like a battle bot. Like, you know, the show BattleBots? He looks like a centaur BattleBot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's perfectly dumb. It's not even dumb, though. Like, I feel like you might like this set. You could enjoy this set without feeling like it's too League. Do you?
Do we want to jump straight to my thoughts on all this?
Let's keep going. We're almost done. Brewmaster, he's got a... like an old-fashioned mining helmet, kind of. It's got like a candle in front of the old like can thing. His keg is a drill. It's a keg drill. I don't know. He also has a lantern on his little... the thing he smacks you with, that's also a pickaxe. They finally put the phoenix egg in, the phoenix set that has the egg where it's like a small bird that unfurls, and it's really cool, and it looks nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They put in another disgusting broodmother set. She's hairy. She's like, really, Harry? You're a spider, Harry? This is disturbingly hairy. Especially the spiderlings. They're just... That's too much hair.
Oh, I hadn't looked at the Oh, I don't like that.
No, it's very It's like a rug. It's like a bad rug. You're wearing a rug. Doom looks like he's from the video game Doom with that kind of, like, face mask thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, the general aesthetic. That's cool. Like, it's cool, I think. Sure. Chen, literally a rat. Like, he literally rides a rat, and it's called the Rat King. So I guess if you're a ratter, you can now ride a literal rat, which I appreciate. He also has an excellent black wig on. It's like one of those fancy judicial, like, white powdered wigs with the curls, except it's black, because he's the Rat King, I guess. Underlord has exhaust pipes that, like, he's got a four-pipe exhaust system with little caps on it, and they, like, pop up and down. I'm not sure what he's exactly exhausting. Maybe he needs, like, a Pepto-Bismol or something, or a Gas X, or a Space X, probably. But, yeah, it looks pretty cool. And then almost done here, we've got a ridiculous Night Stalker set. This is the very rare. He's got like an Iron Man thing in the middle of his chest, but it's a gem, so it's
subterranean. He's like a glowy crystal knife bug.
Yeah, he looks like a weaver that stood up and, like, got anime. And wings, I guess.
I think that's fair.
Like, he has the antenna. I don't know. It looks cool.
This would be, if this was Dragon Ball Z, this would be Weaver's final form.
That's true.
Obviously.
You know, I haven't seen this movie, but isn't that the Ant-Man and Wasp movie out? Doesn't this kind of look like a knight version of that Wasp suit? I saw, like, the Wasp suit in a trailer, probably.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. And then finally, we have Toilet Paper Enigma. He glows white, and he has two holes and swirls.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool to me. And now we're going to hear what you think.
I'm not even mad. They've just kind of lost me. I mean, like, some of these are legitimately good, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the Phoenix one, obviously, is just good. I think the, let me see what else. Like, the Chen one, I think that's really cool. I think the Underlord one is good, and Underlord doesn't have very many sets.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, a lot of these, it's just, like, they feel really unnecessary to me. I don't know, I guess that's, like, I don't know that most of them aren't, like, bad, but it's just sort of, like, I don't feel like they needed to exist at all. Like, the Ember Spirit one feels like the ideas of the Ember Spirit set already exist in other sets.
Yeah. So is it, like, the almost standard now at this point overuse of the same characters getting sets?
I think that's part of it. And also, I mean, like, and when they do go creative, like the Dragon Knight one, like, I mean, that looks cool. That looks like a new hero.
Yeah. Yep.
That same does not look like set. Dragon Knight.
Yeah.
And then the Meepo one seems like it's probably a reference to World of Warcraft, and that makes me dislike it.
So what about the Magnus one?
It's fucking Heroes of the Storm. That one's the one I'm the most scornful about, because it's just it's just a complete disregard for what Dota is. It's like, it's well made. It's not Dota.
Magnus'
entire lore is talking about how much he loves his horn and you can't have it, and apparently he's chopped it off and replaced it with a drill. Like, no.
Just a really mechanical thing that loves his horn.
He's very horny. No.
Okay.
The Chen one's really good. That's a cool-looking Chen set.
That's a nice rat.
Uh-huh. He's a cool rat. I really dig the, like, the fucking, like, exhaust pipes on Underlord. That's pretty cool.
I mean, I'm surprised he's not just sponsored by Uber at this point. He basically is Uber. They gave him exhaust pipes. What more do you
want?
There
we go.
Uber Black, turn him black.
Oh, man, does he have whistle tips? That would be great.
I want this to be his thing now. Like, I want the next treasure to have, like, a diesel underlord in it. And he can just, like, when he activates his ult, he rolls coal. It's just like, it changes the sound.
Can we at least agree that the Enigma set is a cool idea that didn't quite make it there?
I mean, where should it have gone?
I mean, like, this, like, if you look at what it affects, it's an ambient effect, it's a model, it's a loading screen. It doesn't affect any of his spells.
Oh, yeah, you know. That's...
And it changes him from a creature of, like a dark thing to a light thing, and then all of his abilities are still going to be, like, purple and black. Like, that's just foolish. If it made his black hole like a supernova sort of thing or something, or like a pulsar.
Or just like a white hole. Just make it a white hole.
Something. But, like, it feels like it's a cool thing that isn't very connected to what he's actually...
Yeah, I kind of agree that it's weird that it's the ultra rare. Is that what they call it? Yeah, the ultra rare. I just find it weird that it doesn't make a white hole. Like, I think... Mm-hmm. It's been a while since I did this. White hole. It is a hypothetical thing that we think could exist. So, like, it is a possible astronomical thing. Let's just make a white hole.
Oh, yeah.
Like, make
it
stylized,
cool.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like, it just, yeah, it feels like it doesn't go far enough with the idea. And I dislike it when they half-ass things like that.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's not an immortal, but I don't know. Stuff that is ultra-rare feels like it should...
Yeah, I mean, a TI ultra-rare is a big deal. I mean, like, fucking... Remember Invoker's TI ultra-rare, where he got, like, the black tornadoes and, like, deafening blasts and shit? Like, you can be given things.
It's not hard. Like, you should change it.
Yeah, no, I think the white hole idea is, like, yeah, do something like that. Give us, like, commit to the look. Because otherwise it just feels like it's really out of place for the character.
Yeah. Have you seen the controversy over the marketization thing, too?
No, I haven't.
Like, it's not marketable? They said it was going to be marketable. It's not marketable or tradable. You can only get it by buying a bunch of these things.
The collector's cash or just specifically the rares?
Like, you can't buy any of theirs. They said that the ultra rares were all going to be marketable and tradable, and they're not at all. People were upset.
I assume they'll make a stink and then they'll change it. That seems to be how
this
goes.
That's what people were going to say, because, like, that sounds like a typical thing. Like, oh, we'll make a bunch of money and then we'll fix it, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
However, I think there's something weird going on with the regulations that we talked about, like the gambling regulations that don't necessarily make sense, because one of the issue, I think it was in the Netherlands and not Australia, was that what you got out of it had a monetary value, technically. And so, like, if they just don't do that, then I guess they skirt by that. But also, if you buy one of these caches in, I think it's the Netherlands again, you can see what you'll get out of it before you buy it.
See,
so something, I think something weirder is going on than, like, typical Valve complacency or apparent complacency, and then, oh, we fixed it after we made a bunch of money.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I personally am not that invested because I don't market anything. When I have dupes, I save them for friends who don't have stuff. So I don't know. I can understand why people would be mad, but personally, I have trouble getting mad, I guess.
Yeah, it's that it's not tradable. Like, if you could gift it or something. I don't know.
Oh, you can't even gift it?
You cannot move it, as far as I'm aware.
Okay, that's weird. That's very weird.
Yeah. Like, they said, it was specifically said that, oh, this will be marketable. Yada, yada. But
okay.
No.
Yeah, then... Then, yeah, that's, I thought it was just they weren't marketable, which is, like,
no,
you know,
can't trade it.
I think a bummer, but I don't particularly care. But if you can't even gift it, then that's bullshit.
Yeah.
Do you want to take it over to Jackie's Chow, Nick?
I'd do it. Let's just take it over next door to the kitchen. Thank you.
So this week on Jackie's Chow, I brought you a recipe that I've made a number of times, and I'm not going to pretend I invented this recipe, right?
I am, though. I invented this recipe.
Oh, you invented this recipe?
Mm-hmm.
I was going to tell you where I got it. I didn't know you were behind
this
Smitten
Kitchen
blog.
Well, tell me where you got it, and then I'm sure you...
Oh, I see. Yeah. So I got it from the Smitten Kitchen blog, which is a good little like cooking blog on the internet. And this recipe is called Buttermilk Roast Chicken. So if you want to look it up, you can, you know, Google Smitten Kitchen Buttermilk Roast Chicken. I'm going to explain what this recipe is to you and explain that I've made it a number of times and it's fucking good. Mm-hmm. So basically the premise of this is like, what if you had oven roasted chicken that had like the crispness and moist, like the crispness on the outside and moistness on the inside of fried chicken?
Okay.
That's what they're going for with this recipe. So what you do for this recipe is you take some chicken. You can do whatever kind of parts. I recommend doing bone-in, just because, you know, it's going to turn out better that way. You can do legs, you can do thighs, whatever you want. And basically, you marinate them in a mixture of buttermilk, garlic, paprika, and pepper, basically. Oof. And salt and a little bit of sugar. And you let it marinate for, like, between 2 and 24 hours is sort of what you can do. Like, the recipe says you can do up to 48. I am scared about what that would do, personally. That seems, like, intense. I tend to do, like, 12 hours. But you just let it soak in, and the buttermilk just penetrates, and make sure that once you go later and just roast it in the oven, you cook it at 425. Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. The recipe says roast for 30 minutes. No. You're gonna need longer than that. You're gonna need a lot longer. Like, I usually need around 45. Sometimes I need close to an hour, depending. And that could just be my oven being finicky, but I've done it on a couple of different ovens, and I think this recipe just lowballs the cooking time.
They have very small chickens there. It says this is, what's the title of the blog? Fearless Cooking from a Tiny NYC Kitchen. They raise very tiny chickens there.
That makes sense.
The tiny chicken complex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whereas I'm from California, and as they say, everything's bigger in California.
They do say that.
So, you know, try this recipe for yourself. As I say, if you want exact proportions, look up that recipe online. I've made it a number of times. You get really good chicken. I like making it with, like, I've done a roasted cauliflower on the side. I do, like, cauliflower with, like, garlic and onions and a little bit of Parmesan and olive oil. Or I've done it with like these sort of a loaded green beans recipe, which is not good for you, but it's like green beans and bacon and shallots.
Yes.
It's very good. Just have a good time with it. It's a really good, really simple recipe that you're going to enjoy a lot.
Nice. That sounds delicious.
What about you, Nick? You have a chicken dish for the folks?
I did, because yesterday I just randomly made a gigantic batch of chicken noodle soup. I don't think I've ever actually made like your regular, you know, literally your mother's chicken noodle soup before. But I mean, I cut up like, I basically did mirepoix, which is like the French thing where you cut up, I think it is traditionally just carrots, celery, and onions, except I chopped it up because it's for soup. Like, it's for chicken noodle soup, and you generally just have larger veggies in that. Sauteed it for, like, 10 minutes. I was probably more, like, sweating them off. I couldn't get it that hot, which was fine. And then I added in two cubed-up chicken breasts, and then whole bone-in, skin-on thighs, and just kind of let that buck for 30 minutes. Took out the thighs, removed the skin, and then shredded the meat. I left the breast in there. And then put that back in. I forgot to say the part where I added the chicken broth. But, you know,
yeah,
that's
I was
going
to say, seems like there's no wet element to this.
Yeah, no. So you do the veggies, and then you add the chicken, and you put the broth in. I did a mix of chicken and veggie. You could do whatever. I didn't have homemade broth at the moment, but, you know, it still turned out good in the end. And you just kind of let that go, and it turns out that's good. You know, you can really season it with whatever you want. Be careful with the salt. Make sure to, you know, salt at the end, because it depends how much salt is in your broth, as always. But I put in some ground black pepper, oregano, a bit of basil, and some crushed red pepper flakes, not for heat, not to make it spicy, rather, but just like it makes
to add
it
intrigue.
Mm-hmm. Spice intrigue. Yeah, it just, you know, spiciness doesn't have to be the main thing in your dish. It can just accentuate other flavors. And so the final soup isn't spicy. It just, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. It's just good sometimes.
I mean, I really think there's a level, like, I'm not, I say intrigue, but that what I tend to say, like, when I'm not being sort of teasing, is that there's a level of spice you can add to something, a level of heat you can add to something where it's not actually perceivable as heat, but it adds personality.
Yeah. It's like salt. You're not supposed to taste, well, you can taste spicy, but salt, you're not generally supposed to taste salt. It just makes things taste more, right? I think it's right. Kind of a similar concept with spice and some things. Depends.
I think you're right. Now, I do have a question.
I have an answer.
You've written this down as chicken noodle soup. You haven't mentioned any noodles.
Because you can do whatever. You know how to do noodles. I've talked about noodles on this show before. You know, people may, I know. If you want to hear more about my nudes, please listen on. So at the end, I had some egg noodles. I got some classic egg noodles, and I just put them into the soup and, like, boiled it for, or, you know, heated it for 5 more minutes, and then that was it. But right. What I would recommend, you know, if you're really going to make it a little more gourmet, just do your noodles separate, store them separate so they don't soak up and get too mushy.
Okay, that all makes sense.
Yeah, and it was good. Chicken noodle soup. Turns out it's good.
I've never made it. I should give it a shot. All right. Well, I think that's it for this episode of Bottle Crow. And on that occasion, I'm going to go ahead and say a big thank you, of course, to everybody listening out there. Make sure you let your friends know about us. And I hope you appreciated that last episode on Kerbal Space Program. We didn't get a lot of feedback from normal listeners, but other people who don't normally listen were like, hey, this is better than what you normally do. And I was like, okay. This makes me think.
When you embrace the garbage.
Right? When you just go full trash, it turns out. Come out as a trash angel. That's magical.
Wow, trash angel. Oh, new Sing Sing Sing. I'll let him know. Won't okay. You be mine? My shitty podcast right here. Da-da-da. Trash angel. Wait, trash angel. That's not right.
Oh, I didn't like that. Anyway, I was going to thank Jeffrey Bryce, a.k.a. Pomodi, who gave us permission to use his Rhythms of Rift Shadow Ruins as our intro and outro music here, which you can also find in the Steam Workshop if you want to help it get it into Dota 2. I also want to give a big thank you to Ashley Ryan, aka Svimi, who did our podcast art. And, I mean, Nick, do you want to shout anything out with your shout-out section?
I want to shout, let it all out.
These are the things I could do without.
Come on.
I'm talking to you. Peace out, everybody. You're listening to a Scanline Media Network podcast. Check out our other podcasts, like Bottle Crow Reborn. So here's the thing, Nick.
Nobody cares.
No.
It's not about that.
You actually convinced me.
Shit.
The Garnet Wager. And immediately we get Yunji being like, so hang on. Why does everyone call Jinho Kong? And Jinho, like, really circuitously explains because they're making fun of me.
Like, it means bean, but it's all, like, small person, and, like, I'm...
Neutral game.
So, if you're averse to frame data, you can still play the game, and it'll just sometimes take longer to figure some stuff out.
Oops, all anime gaiden. I've known some podcasters with taste, and they're all cowards. Let's talk about today's menu.
Oh my god.
For the Emiya family. Operation Cereal.
Episode 4 yep. Was a bit more understandable, but also, I continue to sour on these kids. I think they're dicks.
Okay, that's fair.
And our patron-only podcast, Oops All Anime.
And he has the blessed privilege of getting an invite. He shreds it in front of her, looks her in the eye, like touches
wipes
her face.
A tear off of her eye.
Wipes a tear off of her eye and goes, I'll kill you.
Visit Scanline Media at scanlinemedia.com and our Patreon at patreon.com/scanlinemedia.